Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm delightful. How are you today?
Also delightful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Lots to get into with you on the Titans front here. Let's start with Chidobe Awuzie. Okay. So he was released over the weekend, has not been healthy throughout a lot of his career. We were going through some of his numbers earlier. It feels like every other year he basically misses half the season. So obviously did not go to plan for him in the Titans last year. What did you make of that move to move on from him, and where do you make of where the Titans are now left at the cornerback spot?
Well, that was one I had circled, and I know it caught some people by surprise, but I kind of expected it. So I was not surprised to see that move happen at all. If you notice, a lot of these moves they've made have been, their durability is an issue. Availability is an issue with, you know, a lot of the players they've signed. Like Draymond Jones has not missed a game in 2 years. What's that?
I'm screaming at a golf fan. Sorry.
Okay, I'm listening, okay. Corey. Right? We got some golf going on here.
Okay.
You're not watching this? The whole world is watching this.
I just woke up, guys. Some of us work at night.
That's true.
So durability is an issue. You know, it saves him like $2 million this year, but it also tags him off the book last year. And, you know, I think Jarvis Brownlee, you know, you're talking about building your draft picks, coaching them up and retaining them. I mean, that's the guy that you want to do that with. So you want him on the field. And, you know, yes, it costs them in depth some, but if you remember, they just re-signed Baker, who played a lot last year, and I really liked him. I mean, I think he's an affordable, good depth piece. He's a good guy. He's long. So, I mean, I think they've got some good young players there where having Awuzie, frankly, just didn't make a lot of sense because of the cap hit and because of the lack of being able to count on him to be healthy. I mean, you just get to that point where you can't expect to have guys around. It's tough to build around guys that you can't expect to have.
Yeah, I think clearly the durability aspect is a theme here, Corey. But I would wonder this also. Do you think this move speaks to optimism about L'Jarius Sneed? Because you can certainly see where even with Baker in the fold, when you have two guys like that you wonder about, that's why you keep both, because you figure one of them might be hurt, right? Like, am I taking that too far and wondering if this is a comment on optimism with him?
I mean, I know there was optimism on how healthy he was, but I mean, this is a guy who came in the last year, I'm talking about Sneed, with a bad knee, and then, you know, he suffers the quad injury of a lifetime. That just did not get better. I don't think so. I think this is just purely looking at his contract and seeing it at an escapable point and saying we're moving on. Because I don't think that they're a Snead or a Awuzie away from being good. And they proved they can play defense with Brownlee, McCreary, and Baker back there anyway.
So, Corey, based on what they've done to this point, or maybe more accurately, what they've not done, specifically at quarterback, is it looking like Cam Ward is the obvious pick to you now for the Titans? And if so, what do you make of the job that they've done in revamping the offensive line for him?
Well, there's also the reports last night that the Giants are out of the market for trying to trade for the first pick. So. Right. All signs seem to point to, you know, Cam Ward being a Tennessee Titan, you know, at at number one. And, you know, when they also signed Brandon Allen, who's 32 years old and has 1,800 career yards, which is fewer than Will Levis passed for last season, you know, it let you know that somebody else was going to be playing quarterback for them this year. And, you know, whether they have a secret plan to get somebody else, it certainly looks like it's Cam Ward. And, you know, for me, no matter who the quarterback is, you need a better offensive line. But I am a huge proponent of, when you have a rookie quarterback, of making their job as easy as possible until they're ready to take on more. You know, because I always point back to Brady and Roethlisberger, and their first year or two, they didn't throw more than 20-25 passes a game. I mean, those guys didn't come in chucking it. You know, they ran the football, and, you know, the Titans have two good running backs, and they've got a large offensive line now that is, you know, about 700 pounds on the right side. And I think those two guys, Pollard and Spears, should have a big year. And they should have the opportunity to have a big year, and they should set up, you know, to make Cam Ward's job as easy as possible. You know, I was in Houston the year David Carr came in as a rookie, and that's about as poor of a job as I've ever seen handling a franchise rookie quarterback, because he did have ability, and they just got him absolutely killed. It's tough for veterans to play when they're getting killed. Just, you know, ask Patrick Mahomes in the two Super Bowls that he lost, you know, how those games went for him. And so, you know, I think protecting your young quarterback, allowing them to develop, and running the football until he's ready to throw it. I mean, and maybe he is Jaden Daniels, and he's ready to throw it 30 times a game. But I like the idea of being able to not have to do that right out of the gate. So if you ask me what's more important, to have a line in front of him or to have star receivers around him at this stage in his career, it's definitely having the big guys in front of him.
76 freaking sacks, right? Is that the number that year for Carr? 76? I think it was.
And I'll tell you what, what was the name of the coach? Dom Capers.
And right.
Just kept dropping. I covered the first year of the Panthers and the first year of the Texans, so I got an overdose on Dom Capers. But it just kept dropping him back there, and you talk about a guy's head being on a swivel. Wow. So if you think the Titans' offensive line has been bad the last couple years, you have no idea.
And that's
saying something.
That is really saying something.
It is.
Okay, 2%.
Go ahead.
Sorry, two percentages I need from you. One,
sure.
I mean, we're already talking about Cam Ward, like it's a foregone conclusion he's the quarterback next year, but your percentage chance of confidence that he will start for the Titans week one next year, and then also your percentage confidence that he will be what they hope he is as a quarterback.
I would say 90% that he's going to start week one, just because, if they brought in a Flacco or a Winston or a Gardner Minshew, some guy who'd started a lot of games, I would say, okay, you know, maybe 50-50. But Brandon Allen doesn't tell me, hey, we're bringing this guy in to start week one. Like I said, 1,800 career yards. Maybe I'm wrong. That's why I'll give it the 10%. And Cam Ward, I like him. I like his tape. I like the person. Is from what I know of the person, you know, because I haven't met him. But you know, his story, you know, what he puts out there as to what's important to him, and the way he's been able to be successful in multiple stops. You know, I like all those things. So, you know, normally with a quarterback, I would say 50-50. I'll say 66.6667%. I'll say 2-1.
I like it.
So, boy, that is very optimistic.
I like it. So on the NCAA tournament front, Corey, what do you make of Tennessee Vanderbilt and the opportunity in front of them as March Madness begins later this week?
Well, how about 14 SEC teams?
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, this is a league that a few years ago only had 12 teams and also had to have a meeting with all its ADs to tell them to get their basketball together because they got to a point where they were lucky to get four or five teams in the tournament. So the league has certainly turned things around. Like, everybody in that league that is in that tournament is prepared to play in that tournament. And so, you know, they're going to win some games, but they're also going to – I don't know how many have to play. How many potential SEC matchups do we have in round two other than Vanderbilt, Alabama? There's got to be more than one.
Yeah, there's also I thought it was Ole Miss, but I'm wrong about that. There's at least one other one that I saw, and right now I'm like,
yeah. Tennessee, Kentucky would be Sweet 16, right?
That is correct, which could be awesome.
I don't know if we expect it to happen, but we'll see. You know, look, if Vanderbilt shoots the ball well, they've got a chance to move on. I think Alabama's a tough go in round two, and for Tennessee. It's the same story. Every year, they're always going to play good defense, but every year they're going to have a clunker on offense. You know, they had that clunker on offense yesterday, and they lost. And can they survive the clunker on offense, whether it happens in round one, two, three, four, you know, or five? Because there isn't a team in the field that they can't beat. I mean, they proved that at the SEC tournament. They beat Auburn. But you know when Igor Milicic and Chaz Lanier, and I know Lanier wound up with 11, but they didn't get anything from those guys in the first half, and so they struggled. And you know, can they survive those games where those guys, or you know, pick somebody else, you know, doesn't give them anything? I mean, if they didn't have Jordan Gainey yesterday, they would have been in real trouble. And so that'll be interesting to see because, you know, they're certainly good enough to go to the Final Four. But history tells us there's going to be a game where they're going to struggle. I think Lipscomb, I know you didn't ask me, is interesting.
Yep.
Because Iowa State's, I believe, their best player is hurt.
Yep.
And Lipscomb can score a lot of points. And if you're not ready to guard, you know, they can score a lot of points. Now, I know you didn't ask me. The Tennessee Tech women, congratulations. You're a 36-point underdog in round one.
Go get them.
Are you saying take the plus 36?
They've won 17 in a row.
Yeah.
And they got a 16 seed to play the Gamecocks in Columbia.
Hey.
With an angry Don Staley.
Let it rip, man. And by the way, it's Kentucky, Texas, and Florida, Oklahoma, also potential second rounders here.
Yep.
So three of them.
Yeah. I mean, look, with 14, I mean, gosh, almost one-fourth of the field, it was inevitable.
It's hard to avoid.
Yeah. You know what's been amazing is, you know, with North Carolina in the field, I haven't really heard anybody complaining about the SEC getting 14 teams.
That's true. They've kind of sucked up all the oxygen.
They have.
And well-deserved.
Everybody's just kind of like, yeah. I mean, yeah, what you could pick on Arkansas – And maybe Texas.
Texas is the one, yeah. I think the other ones are all solid, but Texas, I didn't think Texas would get in, so.
Yeah, winning two, and they got in over what, West Virginia, Indiana?
And Boise, yeah.
Boise had 25 wins or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. You know what the thing I always say, though, is when you're one of the last four in, last four out, don't put yourself in that spot.
I agree.
When you're on the bubble, you're on the bubble. Don't complain. Win more.
I agree. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. It's been great. I feel like we have more to talk about, but there's coffee to make.
There you go.
Get in there and there's golf to watch. Go watch that golf.
There's golf to watch, too.
That's right.
I don't have cable.
Get
Forget
fired
it.
Up. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say on the Titans front. We will get back into March Madness and the NCAA tournament later this hour as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Joe, did not sound like Corey was overly surprised about the Titans' decision to move on from Tadobi Awuzie. We talked about that earlier in the show. You're moving on from a guy that had 8 games of action for you last year, has been a player who has been hurt a lot in his career. Going through the numbers, basically since 2020, he's missed half the season every other year. So he's turning 30 this next season. Do you really expect that to get better as they move forward here? What did you make of the Awuzie decision by the Titans and where they now go at the cornerback spot?
Yeah, look, I think that I asked Corey about the Snead. You know, does this have any comment on Snead that they feel like, you know, they're going to actually get him on the field this year? And he was questioning that. I do think that Daryl Baker is part of this equation too, as he pointed out. I think Awuzie is a good player. I think he's great in the locker room, and I think that you need depth there, and you just need positions that you don't have to deal with addressing, and maybe they still feel like they don't because they have Baker. Again, Brownlee, nice young player. We know what McCreary is, and then Snead will be the fourth guy. So, you know, again, if you feel decent about Snead, if you felt like this is just going to be another thing with Snead, I don't think you'd make this move. I could be wrong, but I don't think you do. You know, so I have to think that they're at least hopeful. Maybe that's all you can really be with Snead, is like have a glimmer of hope. But you just, like, they can't address this position in the draft, right? I guess that's contrary to what I said earlier in the show, which is you just do best available. And yep. So if the best available is a corner when they're up, whenever, you know, whatever point, okay. But like if it's best available, but it's real close with a receiver, if it's real close with an edge, you know, I still feel like need comes into play to some point. Now again, they're gonna take the first pick. They're gonna take quarterback, so they're going need over best available at the highest pick in the draft. So there's that to consider too.
I bet they don't say that though. I bet if they draft Cam Ward, he was number one on their board all along. How much you bet?
That'll be interesting. Then we'll know they're lying.
That's what they say every time. That's what all these teams say. Nobody's ever like, you know, we had like 5 guys ranked ahead of this guy we took on our board, but we just felt like we really needed a position here, so we just did that.
Yeah.
He's actually 30 spots down our list.
Yeah, that's true. Like teams don't.
He's always, yeah, he was top guy on our board.
But like you don't go out of your way, right, to lie.
I wouldn't think so. I'm sure they'll be asked about it at some point.
I mean, it's weird, you know, with quarterback, I feel like a lot of times people wouldn't even answer that question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is a year to ask it because, again, most people feel like the best quarterback is like the 20th best prospect overall.
Right. Yeah, it's a very strange year to have that be the case. Look, it was important beforehand, before the Awuzie decision was made, for Snead to stay healthy. Now it's critical. Like, you need L'Jarius Snead to be healthy and available for you. And if you don't, let's say Snead runs into some injury problems early in the year next year. Well, then you're right back in a spot where you're looking at corner, and it's pretty thin again. And I like Brownlee. I like Brownlee a lot, what he did in his rookie year, and I think there's some promise there. Baker, I thought, was good. You know, they picked him up, and I thought he played fine for him. But if you don't have Snead available, and you've cut Awuzie, that's two guys that you were counting on this time a year ago to be heavy factors for your team that now just aren't. So there's a lot of – they really need L'Jarius Snead to be healthy. And not just be healthy. They need L'Jarius Snead to be healthy and to be the player that he was supposed to be when they traded for him to bring him in here, that he was in Kansas City. Because when he was healthy last year, I don't know how much of that we saw either.
Yes, when the relationship between Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi resulted in that conversation to make that trade happen. Now, Mike Borgonzi, here you go. You're on the other side of that deal.
Exactly. So I'm with you from the standpoint of like wide receiver and edge rusher, and I would even argue offensive line. I know they've addressed the offensive line.
Need another good lineman.
I think you need another good young lineman, and that's probably either at tackle or guard. I'd probably take either one. But I think there are still plenty of positions on the team that you're more worried about right now than corner. I just think you've lost a little bit of wiggle room there with the Woozy now gone. We'll see if there's a corresponding move in free agency. Like, do they bring in another free agent at corner to help fill that spot? We'll see. But I still look at it at wide receiver. They got a lot of work to do at wide receiver. I'd like to see them sign another guy at wide receiver in free agency. I think you have to. And then I'd like to see them draft a couple of them. Again, maybe a problem if you don't have a third-round pick, but I'd like to see you draft a couple of them.
Is this true? Texts are saying that Stonehouse and Aukerman are together?
I think so. Yeah. I think Stonehouse is in Miami.
And Aukerman got a job as special teams coordinator or assistant?
I can't remember.
Good
what
for
Aukerman's
you,
job
Aukerman.
Is.
Stick it to Kaharski, Aukerman.
Let's see here.
I'm rooting for you. Every time that
he's
Dolphins.
Special teams coordinator in Miami. Good Lord. I can't believe Stonehouse went there.
Let's go. Yeah, right.
Last time I worked with you, you almost got me literally killed on the field.
But to be fair, last year they really tried to kill him when Aukerman was gone. So maybe he's like, you know what? You're actually not as bad as
– I didn't even think about that, the fact that he's back with Aukerman. I'm surprised that he was just like, dude, I'm staying away from you.
Hey, man, let's go, Aukerman. Every good special teams play by the Dolphins next year, I'm going to text Kaharski.
Take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. By the way, some news in the AFC South. The Texans and cornerback Derek Stingley Jr., who's a great player, have agreed to a 3-year, $90 million contract extension, Joe. This is according to Adam Schefter. $89 million of which is guaranteed. So a $90 million contract, $89 million is guaranteed. What is that? I've never seen anything like that.
Schefter typo? Schefter, did his agent have a typo in the tweet he wrote for you?
Here's a $90 million contract. We'll guarantee $89 million of it for you. That last million, you better earn.
Derek, if you do really well, we're going to hold that last $1 million, and then we'll have a little party and give you the million in $5 bills. That's weird. I mean,
it's like, is that – I guess I was wondering in the break, is that because, like, they don't want to give away fully guaranteed contracts. So
they
it's just like,
say that
we'll
don't.
Essentially give you a fully guaranteed contract without actually doing it.
I mean, Cleveland doesn't mind.
Cleveland does not.
Fully
it's worked out really
contracts.
Well for them.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Houston's like, let's just keep $1 million back so we don't have – because if we give the whole thing guaranteed, then it guarantees an injury like early next year.
I've never seen one done that.
That's
way.
A weird one.
Yeah. But congratulations to Derek Stingley Jr. on his $89 million that is guaranteed.
He is a heck of a player. No doubt about that.
Good gracious. Interesting offseason for the Texans.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. The entire AFC South right now.
Texans obviously hated their offensive line last year.
Apparently so. Sure. Got rid of all of them.
All of you, please leave.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. You heard Corey Curtis bring it up earlier in the hour. But Jordan Rainan, who covers the Giants for ESPN.com, put it out there on a podcast over the weekend that the deal for the Giants to move up to number one appears almost dead. So everything in the world of football right now is pointing to the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one overall. So then the question becomes, if that's the case and that's what they're going to do, how well equipped is he going to be in year one for success? You've revamped the offensive line. We'll see how well you've revamped the offensive line, but it certainly looks better on paper, significantly better than it did a year ago. And I'm with TD on Friday. Like, I think Zeitler's a big deal. You know, bringing Zeitler in and having him here on the one-year deal is a big deal. So we'll see how that all works out for the Titans. Still a lot of work to do at receiver. I've heard Corey's not the first one I've heard say it, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. As you're bringing in a rookie quarterback, what would you rather have? A stacked offensive line or a stacked skill group of receivers. And I think I would lean offensive line too. Now, we've also seen, you know, Burrow come in, and it wasn't his rookie year because Ja'Marr Chase got drafted the year after. But Burrow got hurt, what was it, 6 or 7 games into his rookie year because the offensive line was terrible.
Right.
And he tore his ACL. And then they brought in Chase, and they got Higgins, and they went to the Super Bowl in the second year because his offensive line was still terrible, but he could throw the ball to all these different guys. So you can do it different ways. I think offensive line, particularly around here, would be the way I'd try to build it.
Yeah, I've got to pick offensive line of those two choices. And, again, it's like if you have the offensive line and it is good, and then you have a running game to go with it, you have good backs, you can take a lot of pressure off your quarterback that way. If you have good protection – and you have good running game, you also make your receivers better. You make your quarterback and your receivers better. Not that you can just go out there with absolutely just anyone. But, yeah, I would always pick offensive line first. I also think that for the Titans specifically, Calvin Ridley, good starting point, not nearly enough with him. And I'll be very surprised if there's not a significant draft pick devoted to that position.
Yeah, I would be surprised by that too. Josh on the text line saying, what do you think about Diggs or Brandon Cooks, maybe Amari Cooper?
Cooks might be cooked.
Might be. How old's Brandon Cooks?
He's been around. Diggs is
none of these guys are ever as old as I think they are when I look them up. Like Cooks is 31, so he'll be 32 in September.
Yeah, but that's still – that can be pretty old, yeah. You know, for a lot of guys in this league. Yeah, Diggs. I'm not like totally out on the idea of Diggs. You know, I understand. You know, whatever. Had some issues and different stuff. I mean, look, the guy's obviously been humbled. He's at a different point in his career too, right? Like, let's face it, he's not like a star receiver for a top team in this league anymore. And they chose basically the quarterback. I guess it's not like that's even a choice, but they chose that it just wasn't worth it anymore. Yep. And so then last year happened. So I don't know. If you believe that he still has some juice, you know, I think I might be able to look past whatever all has happened at previous stops and give it a shot.
Last year before the injury to Diggs, which was an ACL, he had 47 catches, 496 yards, 3 touchdowns in 8 games.
That's a very low per catch average.
It is. 10-6 catch, which was – the lowest of his career. The last 3 years prior to that in Buffalo was 11-9, 13-2, and 11-1, and he was down to 10-6 last year.
I'm even surprised that he had 11s when you say that. You know, to me, he's always seemed like a 13-15 more type of guy.
2019, he had 17.9.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In 15 games.
Yeah, and, you know, high volume, you know, obviously the more volume, that's going to bring it down a little bit. But, yeah, that 10, 11 – That's a guy who's lost a little bit, you know?
But, again, like, I'm with you, but they got to go get somebody. Like, they a wide receiver, like, you probably need to take a shot on one of these guys. And I get it. Like, it doesn't really match up with, you know, you're obviously trying to get a little bit younger and you need some guys that are drafted at receiver to come in and be a part of the future here. But right now, in the meantime, like, you need some stopgap players. Like, you need some players, some veteran guys – that have been around that can help your young quarterback if that's the way you want to go. Hey, look, just like a 1-2 combination of Calvin Ridley and, you know, Tyler Lockett at this stage of his career really get me excited? Probably not, but I would take it in the meantime while you're trying to build up your receiving. It's going to be impossible for the Titans right now to me to fill all the needs they have at receiver this year in the draft. Like you just – yeah. At the moment, you don't have enough picks.
If you get one, that could go along. You make a good choice, and that's still a huge deal. Even though Kidney Bean on the YouTube chat is saying, don't worry, Treylon Burks is about to become that first rounder.
Might be.
You know,
still on team.
The question to me is like, I mean, that second round pick becomes so critical because you don't have a third. So it could be something else. Again, if it's best available and it's a different position, okay. Well, it's best available and it's a different position. Offensive line. You know, if that's their best player, okay. But I just feel like it's probably going to be receiver or edge. And then the other one doesn't get addressed at the fourth.
Right.
Barring changes.
Right. And
that's a long way to wait.
Well, and again, if you're trading back, let's say you trade back 35 and you're able to pick up another pick somewhere along the way. That's good. Now, you're also sacrificing whatever player you would take at 35 and moving back.
But like that's probably
– maybe the way to go, though.
Yeah, just based on the way it's, you know, again, graded, the draft is graded, it seems like the second into the early third, it's a lot of players in a similar level.
Yeah. So, like, I'm all for – a lot of people are wanting – I saw this on Titans Twitter over the weekend of – if you draft Cam Ward, we'll go get Restrepo in the second round, his receiver. Which I don't hate. Like, I think he's a good player.
He is very good.
And I think he could help you in the second round. But you're going to need more than him, right? Like, they got a lot of work to do at wide receiver right now. It's good to have Calvin Ridley. And hopefully Ridley and Ward are able to develop much quicker chemistry than we saw from Will Levis and Ridley last year. Again, I'm just operating under the assumption that Cam Ward's the quarterback.
Yes.
Which apparently everybody else is.
Yeah. It's hard not to. Just imagine if that's not the case.
I know. And with the first overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select Abdul Carter.
Take Travis Hunter and smile, walk back to your people with a big smile on your face. I'm telling you right now.
Travis Hunter at one. Jackson Dart, pick number 35.
Travis Hunter probably play quarterback too, actually.
Probably good.
Quarterback / cornerback, first ever.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts from the text line on the Titans coming up next. Also get back into the NCAA tournament, the bracket for Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Still waiting on the Aaron Rodgers front. We talked about that earlier in the show. Apparently, he wants to play in Minnesota. And Minnesota not yet making a decision on that front. So I assume, Joe, at some point, hopefully, this week, that's happening. And that one way or another, Aaron Rodgers is either going to be the next quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings or he's going to retire or be the quarterback of the Steelers. I don't know. I still don't buy that if it's not the Vikings that he's just going to up and retire. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you. And also I'm just puzzled by the Vikings thought process here. I would not have guessed this. I guess I just sort of looked at it like, okay, well they just fully believe in JJ McCarthy. And if you're JJ McCarthy and you saw Sam Darnold move on, you saw them not tagging me, like, okay, it's my job. And now you're seeing this flirtation with Aaron Rodgers. What the heck are you thinking if you're him?
Hey, I don't know. I mean, is it the worst thing in the world for him if Rodgers comes in for 1 year to sit out another year and see? Probably not. But the thing is, like, they've been talking him up so much, like, oh, man, we love J.J. McCarthy. It's like, well, do you feel like he's ready to go or do you not? Because that's your first-round pick at quarterback. I understand, like, in the short term, maybe you feel like you're in a window right now. And maybe you're scared that going with the second-year quarterback who, for all intents and purposes, is a rookie because he didn't play last year, maybe you're worried about taking a step back there. I'm with you. Like, I don't think, regardless of who's playing quarterback for them this year, it's hard for me to imagine them winning 14 games again. Number one, that's extremely hard to do. And number two, it's hard to get things to line up for you to go that way. I guess the question is, like, with Rodgers, if they went Rodgers, do they feel like that's the path to more postseason success with him?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, when's the last time he won a postseason game?
I guess 2020.
Is that right?
I think so. Because they were 2021, that would have been the 22 playoffs. They were they had the first round bye, lost to San Francisco in the divisional round. Next year, I don't think he made the playoffs, and that was his last year in Green Bay.
It's been a while, man.
Been a while.
I mean, you know, I'll bet this. I'll bet anybody on this. If Aaron Rodgers is a Vikings quarterback next year, he will not win 14 games, which is what Sam Darnold did.
That's a heck of a bar.
Whatever, you know, just saying. They won 14 games with Sam Darnold. This all tells me the Vikings really didn't think Darnold was that good.
Apparently not. And he's ended up in Seattle. By the way, Cooper Kupp over the weekend ends up in Seattle as well, which he stays out on the West Coast.
It's good for Darnold, potentially.
Him and Jackson Smith and Jigba and a bunch of other guys right now. So we'll see. But, yeah, potentially some good news from Darnold there. We'll see what he's got left in the tank there. Going to be interesting to see now that that – like, when does some of these other guys start to go? Like, when does Diggs and Cooper and Brandon Cooks, when do those guys start to come off the board? Is that later this week? Is that later in the offseason as people are trying to determine what the market looks like, where they're at wide receiver? Like, they're clearly not going to make a ton of money based on where they are in their careers and coming off, in some cases, the injuries that they're coming off. Interested to see when those guys start to come off the board.
Yeah, I would think some this week would be my guess. And then Russell Wilson just sitting there, just waiting for Aaron to make a decision so that he can slink into whatever job is still available at that point. I just like
– he's an interesting guy.
So it's like, you know, is he going to go to the Giants, just stay with the Steelers, I guess.
What do you think if you're the Giants right now? Like, you wanted – clearly they wanted Stafford, and then they wanted Rodgers, and it doesn't look like they're going to end up with either one of them. And they wanted to trade up to number one. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to do that.
Will they pivot back to a full-on, like, come on, Titans, how about this?
Maybe.
At some point. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe worth a shot. I mean, right now, like, can you imagine if Rodgers goes to Minnesota, Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh? Like, who's starting for the Giants? Like, Jameis? Is he the starting quarterback for the Giants? Do they just – take a shot in the dark at draft either Sanders or Jackson Dart. It's like, well, let's hope. I don't know.
Did you just say shot in the dark to draft Dart?
Shot in the dark.
Yeah, shot in the dark. Yeah. I don't know. It can't be very exciting for that fan base, but I mean, I'd still be more excited about the unknown, which of course is undefeated, than Russ.
Yeah.
Coming in, right?
It's not a great spot.
Or like you said, yeah, go with Jameis and tank it out and hope that next year actually is what Kaharsky thinks it'll be at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Even though there's no actual
evidence. Sure, the coach and GM be fired up about that. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Another year losing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my gosh.
Brian Daboll?
Tough scene over
there.
Come
on down. Joe, you're, as we wrap up the show here, your thoughts on the path for Tennessee and Vanderbilt as the brackets are now out.
Tennessee earned itself a better path over the weekend. I know it's, you know, Vols fans are hoping for a one seed, hoping for a championship, but they got Lexington. They took that spot from Alabama. They sent Alabama to Cleveland. Alabama has Duke as its one. I would rather have Houston as my one, which is what Tennessee has, than having Duke as my one, even with Cooper Flagg coming off an injury. So I think they got some good stuff done. I like how it sets up for them. I think they. You know, I haven't filled out my bracket yet, but Tennessee-Houston in Elite Eight game, that to me is a toss-up. And Houston's awfully good, but it's a toss-up because the Vols can – that's the top two of the top three defenses in the sport, along with St. John's.
Going to be exciting to watch later this week. Vanderbilt's got a matchup with St. Mary's in the first round in the 7-10 matchup. We'll have you covered on the NCAA tournament front all week. Congratulations as a show to Rory McIlroy for winning the Players' Championship. Rex Rowe was on the edge of his seat the whole time.
Man, I was going to go to the sports bar that was open right now to watch. I'm very disappointed. I wanted more.
That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.